Chapter 6. Reacher leaned to his right a little to see past Don McQueen's head and through the windshield to the road in front, which put his shoulder nominally in Karen Del Fuenzo's space. She leaned a corresponding amount to her own right, hard against her door, to preserve her distance. Reacher saw the flat spread of headlight beams, and beyond them nothing but darkness rushing at him, with a lonely pair of red taillights far away in the distance. The speedometer was showing 80 miles an hour, fuel was showing three-quarters full, engine temperature was showing dead-on normal. There was a Stovebolt logo on the airbag cover, which meant the car was a Chevrolet. Total recorded miles were just over 40,000. Not a new car, but not an old one either. It was humming along quite happily. Reacher settled back in his seat, and Del Fuenzo tracked his movement. Alan King half-turned in the front and said, "My brother was in the army. Peter King. Maybe you know him."
"It's a very big institution," Reacher said.
King smiled, a little sheepish.
"Sure," he said. "Dumb comment, I guess."
"But a common one. Everyone assumes we all knew each other. I don't know why. I mean, how many people live where you live?"
"A million and a half, maybe."
"Do you know them all?"
"I don't even know my neighbors."
"There you go. What branch was your brother in?"
"He was an artillery man. He went to the Gulf the first time around."
"So did I."
"Then maybe you did know him."
"We were half a million strong. Everyone went. Biggest deal you ever saw."
"What was it like?"
"Didn't your brother tell you?"
"We don't talk."
"It was hot," Reacher said. "That's most of what I remember."
"What branch were you in?"
"I was a cop," Reacher said. "Military police, criminal investigation division, man and boy."
King half shrugged, half nodded, and said nothing more. He faced front again and stared out into the darkness. On the shoulder a sign flashed by. "Welcome to Iowa." Sheriff Goodman aimed his car into the lounge's rear lot and put his headlights on bright. The parked import was not a Toyota or a Honda or a Hyundai or a Kia. It was a Mazda. A Mazda 6, to be precise. A five-door hatch, but the rear profile was sleek, so it looked pretty much like a regular four-door sedan. It was a late model. It was fire engine red. It was empty, but not yet dewed over. It hadn't been parked for long. Next to it on both sides were plenty of empty spaces. Behind it was 50 yards of weedy gravel, and then basically nothing all the way to the Denver suburbs 700 miles to the west. In front of it was the lounge's rear door, which was a plain steel rectangle set in a mud-colored stucco wall. A good spot. Not overlooked. No witnesses. Goodman pictured the two guys climbing out of the Mazda, shucking their suit coats, stepping across to their new ride, getting in, taking off. What new ride? No idea. Taking off to where? Not east or west, because they couldn't get out of the county east or west without first driving south, back to the crossroads, and no one drives a getaway vehicle back towards the scene of the crime. So they had carried on north, obviously, because the interstate was up in that direction, just waiting there for them beyond the dark horizon, like a big anonymous magnet. Therefore, they were long gone. Either they had gotten out of the county minutes before the local northern roadblock had been set up, or they had gotten through it undetected minutes afterwards, because at that point the deputies were still looking for a bright red car. Goodman's own fault, and he knew it. He got on his radio and told his guys to close down their local roadblocks. He told them exactly why. He told two of them to secure the area behind the cocktail lounge, and he told the rest of them to resume their general duties. He called the highway patrol's dispatcher and got no good news. He checked his watch and calculated time and speed and distance, and he breathed in and breathed out, and he put his car in gear, and he set off back to the crime scene again, ready for his appointment with Special Agent Julia Sorensen. His fault. The two men were out of the state already. It was the FBI's problem now.